Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast.
And what's really interesting is that, and this is data that's out there in the public domain, is that Premier League football clubs don't necessarily need their match day revenue for the profit they make, because obviously they make their money through TV and they make their money through the commercial side of merchandise and far trips and everything else. It obviously helps season ticket sales. But Premier League football clubs could still survive behind closed doors. And this is the interesting thing, isn't it? When we look at non-league football, they have to rely on that match day revenue, don't they? So that's what keeps them alive, because they haven't necessarily got the TV and the huge commercial sponsorships. So there's an imbalance there, isn't there? And therefore, it's really interesting to hear your point that actually non-league football needs that. It needs people coming through the gates still.
Well, it does, but I'll give you one scenario. When the Premiership players were put under pressure by the government to take a 30% pay reduction for 3 months and for the money to go to the NHS, the PFA and Gordon Taylor at the time come out and said that that would cost the Treasury $200 million in revenue. But okay, do that and give the $200 million to non-league football, to keep non-league football going. Give it to cricket. Give it to rugby league. There's lots of sports out there that need an influx of financial support at this stage. But $200 million from the Premiership players would go a long way. And I'm sure 30% of a 3 month's money wouldn't leave them short of a few bob to pay their mortgages at the end of it. So, you know, I'm not asking the Premiership to pay. I'm not asking them. The players could do it. And if they wanted to do it, and I know a lot of players give a lot of money and a lot of time to charities, but that's a one-off thing we're asking in this time of need. You know, take a 30% reduction. The Treasury Union gives all that money to Sport England, whatever it was, and it's shared equally among every sports club that's needed it over the course of this country. It might, you know, some clubs might only need 10,000, some might need 100,000. We don't know the cost until you look into it. But I just thought there was a good way of sharing money out amongst everybody in the country and having a good feel factor.
Well, well said, and leading into that as well. This is the time now, isn't it? You know, we are from a team environment. This is about helping one another out with different things going on, different strengths, different better opportunities. This is a real poignant moment in football, isn't it? At that level, exactly, to help the whole community. And technically, legally, they don't have to do anything. But equally, you say, OK, well, actually, this is a sport that benefits all of us. And, you know, a lot of people started at non-league football level as well. So I think it's a really, really interesting point. Let's see what happens, I guess. Which leads us into another interesting point. Let's now move back into the Saints. And let's have a little review chat with yourself, if you don't mind, regarding 2019-20 football season, the highs, the lows from your perspective. And obviously, you started earlier talking about that Braintree game that did get you them points, albeit you didn't really necessarily feel that should have gone ahead. And at the time, I remember a few clubs felt similar. In summary, from your perspective, thinking far back to the beginning of the season to where we ended with Braintree, what's it been like for you, the highs and lows, and the team, really?
I think it's been a really tough season. It's one of those that you don't set your stall out at the start to fight a relegation battle for most of the season. I think the one positive from my point of view is that I've been involved in relegation battles before. And you see some people might panic in that situation. And the one thing I always knew I wouldn't do is panic. I've been there What you understand, Graham, is when you get a job as a manager, you don't get it when they're top of the league. You get it when they're bottom of the league or they're struggling. So picking up St Albans 4 years ago, they were relegated, weren't they? 14 points clear of the team above them. When I've got the jobs at Barton Rovers and Stockfold and Boreham Woods, you know, they've all been relegated or in a relegation battle. And Harlow at the bottom of the table at Christmas when I got that job going back in the year 2000. So fortunate enough, I never had a relegation in them 30 years on my CV, which is something I'm proud of. But also, we go back to the season. I think we signed some really good players last summer. I think I got the mix wrong in terms of the physicality and the technical ability. And I think we brought some really good technical players into the squad, into the team. But I think we lost the physical side of our performances. I think the injury to Solomon Wobakai at Dulwich in the third game, and I know it sounds only the third game, we just drawn at Dartford and played really well and should have won the game. Played Chippenham at home, could have gone either way. And then we played Dulwich and they went down to 10 men early on, but Solomon had already come off. I felt we missed his drive and his aggression in midfield. Mm. He was out for sort of 4 to 6 weeks and I felt that we never really replaced him in the side. Then a couple of defeats builds that lack of confidence up. And then it was hard to get back into the groove again. So we've had to really dig deep. It took us, I think, 6 or 7, maybe 8 games to get our first win of the season. Though in a couple of those games, I felt we played quite well. And then you hit the FA Cup run. Worthing at home, I didn't think we played particularly well. Away from home, I felt we did really well, won it. And then drew Weymouth away, which was always going to be difficult because of the sort of side Weymouth were. And that knocked us out of there, so that was a bit of a blow. We never really got going again in the months of October. Then had the trophy. We had a really good result at Welling. We changed the shape slightly. Had a good result at Welling, 1-1-0. Then drew them again in the trophy and played really well for an hour and got undone with a sucker punch with 2 goals in a minute that knocked confidence again. But I felt by the time we got to December, we sorted a lot of the problems out. What we didn't plan for is we lost Joe Trufano and Sam Merson for a 4 and 6 week period. Albert Adu had just come back from a knee problem as well. And Albert was struggling to lead the line. So we had to play James Kolotsky up front, where James did a great job for us in a couple of the games. We managed to get Sam back. But you know, I don't think anyone, you know, when you look at somebody like Joe Trufano, who's probably scored 50% of our goals last year, was missing for that period of time, our goals dried up. We managed to get him back for December. We brought one or two new players in. Frankie Masunda from Luton and Jamie Fielding from Stevenage who bolstered us. We had some really good results at Weymouth and then Hemel and then really unlucky to lose at Wildstone and unlucky to lose at Hemel again. Poor result against Hungerford at home where we were 2-0 up and totally in control. And then went through that little spell again in terms of not picking up results. So he was always in and around that bottom three, bottom four for the whole season. And then for me, I think possibly changed it was bringing in Lewis Gordon and getting Frankie Masunda back and Harry Forster from Watford, which helped us get some real balance in the side. And I just felt that our performances at Bath, our performances at Havant, even our performance at home against Dartford. And I felt, turned the corner with 7 games to go. I was really excited about the last 7 games in terms of where we was, the squad we got together, the pace, the aggression and the passing ability. I think David Noble probably had his best season in the 4 years he's been with us. I felt we got the partnership of David Longking and Tom Bender right. Frankie Masunda coming back in at right back with Jamie Fielding obviously picking up his injury was good. And then obviously we got the three forwards in terms of Joe, Sam and Jefferson coming in. Jefferson was totally different, big, strong, could take a bit of battering ram for us. Sam obviously got a bit of confidence back by scoring a couple of goals. And then Joe was still nicking his goals here, there and everywhere. So it, for me, overall, I would say, Graham, and I've probably gone on a little bit too much, but I think it's a disappointing season. Overall, I think we underachieved. But again, with the way seasons pan themselves out, we're not going to be chasing year in, year out, year in, year out. You know, we can't compete with Havants. I think we're going to struggle with teams like Weymouth's and teams like that because of the area we're in. You've got Boreham Wood, you've got Wealdstone, you've got Hemel, you've got ourselves, you've got teams, four or five teams, all virtually looking for the same players. I mean, Boreham Wood's obviously gone up now, but you know, you've got three or four teams in the area that are looking at the same players. And you know, we've got to respect what we spend, and that's important. You know, we don't want to bankrupt the football club. The owners have been really good in terms of the way they've supported the club. At any stage last season, they could have pressed the panic button. But I think they learned from what they did probably 4 years ago that by keep changing, the manager isn't going to help anybody. No. At the end of the day, it was about, you know, trying to remain focused on what we were doing. And as long as we were looking to try and tweak things, and as I said, and I'll say it again, we just can't change like for like. And once the season starts, you know, your better players have dried up and they've gone to other clubs. But I look back overall and there was a lot of 1-0s, 2-1s there where if we'd have scored more goals, we'd have picked up more points. So that's the area we need to try and concentrate on going into next season. We need to score more goals. My wide men need to score more goals. The midfield players need to score more goals. And our forwards, we can't have one forward scoring 18 goals. We need two forwards, one scoring 18, 20 goals and one scoring 10, 12 goals. And that will bring more points and turn a lot of the 1-0s and the 2-1s into draws, into wins.
And that's a brilliant summary, Ian. And I think for me, it must have been tough for you because I saw the first half was a very different team to the second half of the season. And I could see you built things in and you sort of got everything you said. And that second half of the season, there were some excellent performances. And going back to your sort of early stage when you mentioned about the beginning of the season, that's a brilliant insight, what you were saying about the technical skill and the physicality, because you want to play football. And I guess that's a bit of your Arsenal time as well, wanting to play football. And at the same time, it's quite a tough physical league. And I wonder, on that reflection, did you have through the season, do you ever have in your head a clear tactical formation, or are you always trying to adapt that depending on what you see in front of you?
I think when you start the season, you have a plan in which way you want to play. But I think when results don't start going for you and you're conceding the number of goals that we were conceding at one stage there, you look to try and shore that up. So that's why we tried the three at the back. And it worked in one or two games. I think we took one or two teams by surprise. They didn't expect us to line up that way. But teams very quickly resolve the situations in these leagues. And then they know that if my fullbacks aren't going to push on, they'll push their fullbacks in. And then they'll start pushing their wingers higher up the park. So the fullbacks end up playing left back and right back. So now we're playing a back five instead of a back three. That gives them more room in the midfield area. And they started to hurt us down the wide areas. And quickly we resolved it with a defeat at Tonbridge, which was a poor result, poor performance, poor result at Tonbridge. And that was probably the lowest point of the season, was that performance at Tonbridge, where I didn't think we had anything about us in terms of the physical side of the game. I felt they bullied us. We didn't pass the ball on a really poor pitch, I have to say, but perhaps we don't need to pass the ball or overpass the ball in certain areas. And that's what we started to do. We started to get the ball forward a little bit quicker. But we also needed somebody that was going to hold the ball up. And I felt when we brought Jefferson Louis in at the time, he brought us a different dimension. He started to beat up centre-halves, which is what we wanted to do. Started to give Joe a bit more freedom, but it also allowed our wide men to get in the game. So, as I say, it's difficult because, you know, I felt sorry for people like, what's the little winger who we let go to?
Foxley, Darren?
Yeah, Darren. I felt sorry for Darren because very, very technically he's really, really good player and he comes in off his left foot. And as I say, but we just couldn't get him in the side on a regular basis. Bobson Balling came and I thought Bobson was excellent, but there was no end product. We'd lost Zane Banton, so we knew that. We didn't get Zane back till the end of September. Reece Morrell Williams came in and though he's on the front foot and he's creating chances for us defensively, he cost us two goals with Billericay. So it's a difficult one because you could just throw caution to the wind and say, let's go and attack teams. But as I said before, I think you've got to be very careful with this league, is that we don't disrespect the league and the teams that are in it and the managers that are in it, because there's some big teams in this league. And I think we'll find it again this season, as we found it last season, is that the EFL clubs will get smaller and smaller and smaller in terms of their squads. That means that there's more players dropping into the National League, and then National League players will drop into the National South and the North. And the teams with the money will get the better players. And that's where it's going to be difficult. So where I've always tried to sign some players from the lower leagues and try and develop them and turn them into Conference South players. And if they're good enough, go on to the National League and the EFL and give them an opportunity. And sometimes, like last year, it probably wasn't, the recruitment wasn't good enough in terms of that side of it. You know, even David Longking had come from the league below. Solomon Wobakai had come from the league below. What's his name? Joe Howe would come from Hemel Hempstead. James Klotsky, obviously, we had him the year before. So, you know, Joe Trifano had been playing at Northampton under 23s. So, again, it was quite a change around of squad. And I looked at it the other day. I think it was Dean Snedker, Tom Bender, David De Haidu, David Noble, Sam Merson. I think it was seven players remained at the start of last season. And there was nine new players brought in. And it's very hard for them to gel straight away and expect a response straight away. But because we're in a result basis game, we haven't got time to mess around. So, and it's a shame, because when I bring these players in, I want to develop them. I want to turn them into better players. But sometimes for the sake of the club and sometimes for the sake of yourself and the team, that you have to make these hard decisions. And unfortunately, Taylor Miles, you know, Taylor came in and I thought it was going to be a revelation. Didn't quite, you know, get to the level I expected. And Darren Foxley, Bobson Balling and people like that, Albert Adu, never quite gave us the overall performance that I was looking for in terms of the physicality and the quality. And though they're very good quality players, we just lacked a little bit in that physicality side of it.
Yeah, great to hear. So I've got two final sort of thoughts to wrap up on. We can probably both answer this. I've got a name in my head that I'd like to share with you. But also, for you talking there about you had seven players on the books and you had to bring in an extra nine plus. If you could pick one, and maybe this is a bit unfair, but if you could pick one player from last season that you brought into the club, who would you pick out as that one player that you thought, I'm really pleased with that signing, that worked out really well?
Last season?
Yeah. Gone.
When I say one player, I'd have to say probably the I know it sounds crazy, but the four loan signings we brought in were very good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you bring loan signings in, you're not sure whether they're going to adapt or buy into what you're doing, especially the Watford boys, because, you know, they're Premiership players. I think with Frankie Musunda, he wanted to play, and Jamie Fielding, you know, being at Stevenage was good for them to get games. But the two boys from Watford were outstanding. I felt, you know, both came in, they bought into what we was trying to do, and you're not sure what sort of outcome you're going to get. But both of them, I felt, really went and stuck to their guns, did their jobs extremely well, enjoyed being in our changing room, which was really pleasing. But your question, I suppose it would be one of the players where I suppose it might be somebody like Zane Banton, really, because, you know, Tom Bender is another one we spoke about, you know, how loyal Tom's been to the football club. And, you know, but I take Tom for granted now in one way, and it's not being disrespectful to him, and he knows that. But, you know, he's a stalwart at the football club, and I take him for a bit of the furniture now. But getting Zane back was a bonus. Still, every now and then, he'd get a kick on the ankle, and you worry about it. But, you know, he played a lot of games last season. And to come back from breaking his leg in the March before, got him back in September, and he did really well. Could he have scored more goals? Yes, he could have done. But he was a good return for us in terms of that side of it. I'd be wrong for me not to... Sorry, name somebody like David De Haidu, who... And I owed him an apology. We played him at Bath and we won 3-0, and I apologised to him after the game because I felt that he'd sat on the sidelines and never caused me any problems, and he should have been knocking on my door telling me that he was the answer to our problems. Because when I put him back in the side in terms of his physicality in midfield, as a right back, it changed our season a little bit with the results against Bath and teams like that. And, you know, again, I owed him a bit of an apology because I said, I think I've overlooked him too much over the Christmas period and New Year period, looking for the perfect result. So it's difficult because, you know, as I say, I like people that are loyal. I also respect players that want to move on to the higher level. And we've got that at the moment. We've got three or four players that have expressed themselves to me. They want to try and play higher. I totally respect that. And that's where we'll have to see with what they want to do. And that's the problem I have at the moment, is not knowing what squad we've got, who we have to bring in. But I've always said to the players that, you know, if I sign players that are going to replace them, then there won't be a place back here for them players. But I totally respect that they want to try and play at a higher level. But also then players have got to realise there's a lot of players moving down now who want to play at that level. So it's going to be a bit of a car crash in terms of the players dropping and the players coming up, and then the club's making a decision. Because, you know, the one thing, as I've said to the players, you know, give me another year and let's see where we are in a year's time. Because I felt we worked really hard last year in turning the season around and getting to where we got in March. It was, for me, it was exciting times. Our performances at Bath, at Havant and at Kings Langley and against Braintree were really good performances. I felt we played with a swagger about us. I felt we imposed ourselves on the games. Yeah, we got a little bit lucky against Havant, but we was in the game at 1-0 down. And so it's difficult. As I say, it's a good question. I haven't really answered it.
Well, I was just about to say it's a very diplomatic answer, but I like how you picked out quite a few, because I'd agree with you. And I think from my side, I'm going to give you two credits. I think David Long-King is a fantastic signing. I can see he's still in development, and I can see he's definitely improved from the beginning of the season to the end. Loan signing, as you alluded to earlier, I think Lewis Gordon, I mean, wow, what a great future he's got going forward, potentially. So that was for me. Obviously, I'm sure lots of Saints fans have got a few more. But final thought then, Ian, just to wrap up. What's the key thing when we do come through this horrific pandemic and get back to sport, which we know is good for our physical and mental health, and you know, that's really important for the St Albans community as well. What's one thing you'd pick out that you're looking forward to, that you know the fans, the Saints fans, will be looking forward to when we get back to football?
I think you just used the word there in your statement, community. You know, and I know it's something that we're looking at quite openly at the football club, is that the first thing we want to try and do when we're allowed to do it is get a community day together at the football club. Open the gates, let everyone come in, get everyone to see each other again. You know, we can have a chat, can have a drink, we can just get to know each other again and get everyone to get the well feeling back into the community. And we've said it, yeah, there's ups and downs in football. There's ups and downs in people in terms of St Albans, the way we play football. You know, people like me, people don't like me. That's the aspect of the game. And that's, I understand that they're the things that will deliberate in the pub after a game, some of the performances, some of the decisions you make. But let's just all get together, have a drink, put our arms around each other and just celebrate. The fact is that we're still on this earth, because there's, at the moment, there's 32,000 people that's no longer with us in this country. And all over the world, there's a lot of people that have lost their lives through this virus. I don't think anybody expected it to be as bad as what it has been. But let's just get together and forget about our differences and just pat each other on the back and let's have a good time together. Might only be for a day, 24 hours, but after that, then we can get down to some good football and hopefully put some smiles back on people's faces.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Ian. That is absolutely superb, and I echo everything with it. And what'll be good is if we get more time, airtime with you as well for Radio Verulam, because obviously they're going through tough times at the moment as well. But to get local people who are doing local things, I think it's really, really important. So hopefully we can get you back on again and talk about other specifics. There's lots more questions, no doubt, the same fans would have. I'm more interested in the difficulty of the contractual stuff for your players when you're trying to work at this level. And maybe we can look at that a little bit further. And maybe we can do a charity cut for our beards at some point, where we get some sort of normality and when the hairdressers open again. I'm not sure. Something for us to consider and discuss. But, final thoughts from your side?
No, brilliant. I've really enjoyed it. It's as I say, it's nice to talk about things because you keep a lot of stuff locked up all year round, and you like to just really explain things and just some of your feelings and understand how people want to know how I feel sometimes, or some of my decision making at times. And as I've said, I'm always quite open, and I think I'm probably too open at times. But as I say, you don't make the decisions for the sake of it. You think long and hard about it. And then you've also got to look at, you know, you've got a lot of responsibility with you, you know, and I haven't mentioned the coaching staff that come in, that Chris Winton and Steve Conroy come in and did a great job for us in the second half of the season. And that's no disrespect to Glenn Elzepedi. Glenn did a great job for us, but I just felt we needed a different voice and a different way in the terms that we went forward. But again, those people are important to me, because it's nice that we can pick the phone up and talk to each other. And rub things off against each other as we go through the day and then through the week. And then on a Sunday, you know, we all sit together on a Sunday night and have a meeting for an hour.
Yeah, superb. And maybe we'll pick up that more as well going forward with your coaching team. But Ian, thank you for your time. We'll make that a wrap at this stage. That's Graham Griffin with Ian Allison talking all things football and Radio Verulam Sports. So until next time, keep yourself safe and well. Ian, thank you very much.